here last week and heard Toby Cavanaugh bring the word of the Lord? How many were blessed? Man, I listened to that online, and I'm like, oh my goodness. There's a reason I had him come, and the Bible says that God himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now, for a moment, I just want to take the office of a pastor, but how many Christians are called to love one another and encourage one another? Everybody. So there's a sense in which there's a bit of a shepherd's calling on all of us. But then there's some who are called to the office of pastor. And how many Christians are called to reach others with the gospel and the love of Jesus Christ? How many of us are called to do that? But it says that these are called for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So part of the calling of a prophet is to train others to prophesy. The calling of a pastor is to encourage others, to encourage one another, by example and equipping, to train others to be a part of the process of caring for the body of Christ. And then but we need the voice of all of the offices, and we also need the voice of an evangelist. And I've known Toby since he was a little guy. I remember I did my internship under a then Pastor Mike Cavanaugh, who was pastoring Elam Gospel Church in Lima. He's now the president of Elam Bible Institute. And after we moved from Lima to Mount Morris, we invited the Cavanaugh family to come down and visit, Pastor Mike brought his wife and kids down, and Toby and my son went out and played basketball, and I was shooting around with them, and he was just a little guy. Now I don't want to play basketball with him anymore. I don't. I'm pretty sure it would be a bad day for me. but he really he has many gifts, but he's functioning in the office of an evangelist. When he and a partner graduated from college, they said, you know, before we just settle into a career, why don't we do something crazy for Jesus? And so they said, let's go to China. Who thinks that way? Who thinks that way? Oh, let's just go to China, see if God might use us there somehow. So he and another brother went to China and just started hanging around college campuses and where students wanted to speak English with anybody who could speak English. They wanted to use their English skills. And so they got the chance to share the Lord with some of China's finest, and out of that launched a ministry called Campus Target, which has literally taken hundreds and hundreds of young adults to China, to many different cities, different college campuses, sharing Jesus Christ, baptizing believers underground in bathtubs, and starting churches and partnering with churches in China, and just an incredible ministry. This last year, he launched the Ephesus School of Ministry. If he didn't have enough to do already, he decided to start another ministry to head up. But he's an amazing young man of God, and I want to ask you to open your heart again to Brother Toby Cavanaugh. Come on up, man.
Thanks. I was telling Pastor Jack this morning I had a blast with you guys last week. It's fun to be back. So you guys got a group right now on their way back from New York City. When I was 18 years old, I was living down in New York City for about 6 weeks. I was a Bible school student. I was kind of on a missions trip there, and I was working at NYSEM, right, with the team where they've been ministering this last few days. And during one of my nights, I was just by myself, and I was riding on the subway in New York City. As I'm riding on the subway in New York City going back home for the night, there's someone sitting next to me, and all of a sudden, I feel the Holy Spirit say to my heart, I want you to share my love with the person next to me. So, you know, I maybe feel a little uncomfortable, but I kind of just looked over, and this lady was the grumpiest, mossiest looking human being I've ever laid eyes on in my life. I mean, she was just like, you know, just everything you could imagine about after the worst day riding home on the New York City subway, like that was it right there. And so I looked at the lady and I went, nope, not doing that. And I felt the Holy Spirit prompt me again. I want you to share my love with her. And this begins like a 10-minute conversation, argument really, that I'm having with God, where I'm just saying, like, I'm sure she needs your love. I just looked at her face. There's no way I'm talking to her. This is not happening. I just feel intimidated by this idea of sharing with someone. It's just not happening. But, you know, as the conversation's going on, the Lord's working on my heart, and then finally I come to the place after about 10 minutes where I go, okay, Jesus, I'll share with her. So I turn over and I say, hey, you know, this might sound weird to you, but I just felt God tell me just to let you know that he loves you so much. Can I tell you more about that? And as I said it, her face did like this miraculous transformation. She just, all of a sudden, this big smile lit up her face, and she said, really? I would love to hear more about that. But this is my stop. She stood up, and she walked out the door, and the door slammed shut. And if I'm honest, for years and years of my life, that feeling of shrinking back, falling short, messing up, and failing marked that whole area of my life of me sharing about Jesus with other people. You know, I just feel paralyzed, but I didn't know what to say, or I didn't really know where to start in a conversation, or more and more, even as things have moved in our culture, just feeling paralyzed by all the negativity even around the idea of sharing about Jesus with others in our culture, and you just feel paralyzed. And I don't know if any of the rest of you have felt that same kind of thing, but it creates this little torment inside, right? Because there's this part of you inside that's like, I know God gave me a commission to share with other people. You know, just like Pastor Jack said, I know this is something all believers should have as a part of what they're doing. And I know there's an eternal impact in their lives, but I just am so bound up and paralyzed and tripped up. And it was like, I couldn't do it. My own heart was accusing me. Is that just me, or has anyone else ever felt any of those things before? Okay. What I want to say this morning is that you are not stuck in that place. Jesus came in and he began to give me understanding and revelation that set me free from that paralysis. And I realized that he actually has for me ways to share his love with others that are not only powerful in their lives, but they actually fit wonderfully even in what our culture is today. And all that paralysis and fear and stuff that was keeping me back, it was myths that were holding me back. And it's been cool over these years of default. I've gotten to see lots of other people set free from that thing that kept them bound too. Pastor Jack talked about, we just started this Ephesus School of Ministry. So right now, working with Elam Bible Institute, we have 12 students right on campus there doing this practical training school, discipling them for what God's called them to do. And as a part of it, one of the girls that came in, she's a student this year named Abby, a really, really sweet girl. But as she came in, she was just, by personality, was pretty introverted, by nature, just like a little shy. And she just was this person that, like, you know, just was just kind of shy. You wouldn't ever think would have that kind of a conversation. And it was really cool. We were in a chapel one time, and someone was speaking in the chapel, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit came down, and he gave her that same revelation to set her free from that. And this little shy, introverted girl walks out of the chapel, takes out her phone, and calls her friend, who was a Mormon, so that she could share the gospel with him. She hangs up the phone, has a powerful conversation with this guy. Then she calls her boss on the phone, and she shares the gospel with her boss on the phone. And I'm like, what is going on? And over the weeks that have followed, this is just a month ago this happened. Over the weeks that's followed, this girl has been lit on fire with the truth that sharing the gospel, sharing about Jesus is way easier than she ever thought, and that God could even use her in her introvertedness and who she was to do it. And now she's like this person. She's just sharing the gospel multiple times a week. She shares it with her friends, with strangers. It's unbelievable seeing the transformation that's happened in her life. And what I think the Lord wants to do this morning is for all of us, he wants to release truth and revelation to us that breaks through that paralysis and breaks through that fear, that the idea of sharing doesn't become this intimidating, tormenting battle within, but becomes a joyful thing that just flows naturally from life. Okay, so let's open up in our Bibles to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Before we actually start reading, though, I want to follow up from last week. Last week, we talked, as I was here, we talked about God's incredible love for his lost kids. And remember, we made a list of people in your circle of relationships that need him. And many of us committed in our hearts to start praying for those. And so, I just wanted to come back and ask, like, how's it going? Did anyone get the chance this last week to pray over anyone in your list at all? That's amazing. Some of you, you might be like me, where like you kind of set something and then like life gets really busy and you just forget about it or whatever. And so today is like a totally fresh start to do that. If God began to burden your heart last week to start praying for people in your life that don't know him yet, we can start right. Can we do it right now? Is that cool? Let's do it right now. Remember, open doors and open hearts are the things we're praying for. Let's pray. Now, I want you to just think of someone that you wrote their name down last week, or if you weren't here, someone in your life that is far from God. Let's just pray for them right now. Lord, we just lift those up before you right now, and Lord, we just ask that you would open their heart, Lord. If they're hard to you right now or they're far from you right now, you would just work in their lives and the circumstances in their lives to soften them and just open their hearts that they would be willing to hear of you. And Lord, we just ask that you would go before us and that you would open doors in their lives, Lord. You'd open opportunities for ourselves and for others to share with them, Lord. But just at the end of the day, Lord, our cry to you is, Lord, rescue them. Lord, come into their life. Lord, do for them what you did for me. Lord, how you set me free. Lord, we just ask you to move in them, Lord. Lord, we just pray over this whole church, Lord, that you begin working in the lives of their friends and family members that are still far from you. We know you want it even more than us, Lord, and so we trust you to do it. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, Mark chapter 5. We're going to start reading right in the beginning of the chapter, verse 1. This is Jesus and his disciples are traveling together. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. And, you know, when you first read this passage, or those of you who have been in the church for a while and know this story, the picture of this man is like kind of like a frightening thing because there's like this super strength thing that seems to be going on because of this evil spirit that's in him. But when you actually look at the story, it's not really this frightening thing. It's this pitiful situation. This guy is absolutely tormented. If you were to walk through the hills of that area of Palestine near these villages at night, you would hear a noise, just the wail of somebody who's tormented and broken. It wasn't a scary thing. It was a pitiful thing. And here's this guy, because he's got this, he's been ostracized and kicked out from his town, kicked out from his family, and this guy's living among the tombs, the most unholy, the most desecrated, the place you wouldn't want to be, the only place he could go. And so he's living among this place totally by himself, tormented by this evil spirit, rejected by everyone he knew in his whole life. And then Jesus comes and lands on the shore. You know, I think about that picture of that torment and even, you know, him, that idea of him cutting himself with rocks up there as he's so broken in his life. And it reminds me of a girl named Christine that our family knew in China. Christine grew up in a really broken home, faced a lot of really difficult stuff when she was little, and she came out of it just broken by it. She was hurting inside, and as even a grade schooler, she felt so much pressure on her from her family that she would go out and she'd perform excellent in school and do all this stuff. But when she would come back home at night, she would come into her room, and she would lock the door, and she would just begin to cut herself on her arms, hiding beneath her sleeves so her parents couldn't see, but somehow hoping that this little pain she was inflicting on herself would distract from the gnawing pain she felt inside. That's what I picture when I think about this guy. And there's this aspect of this guy that is totally out of control, right? I mean, he's just, you know, breaking things crazy, all this kind of stuff. And, you know, maybe you know what that is in some area of your life, to feel out of control. I think of another one of my friends in China. His name was Andy. And when I first met Andy, he was extremely broken. And just in my first time connecting with him, shared with me a pretty deep thing that was going on in his life. And it was just that week he had hit his girlfriend. And Andy had grown up again. It was a home that had some Christians in it, but a lot of messed up stuff. And he had suffered violence himself as a kid. And now the very last thing he would ever want to do to anybody on this planet, he had just done to his girlfriend, repeating the same stuff that had happened to him. And he was broken inside. And for those of us that are here, you might remember from the past of your life that feeling of being out of control. Or you might remember there's that feeling of torment or brokenness or lostness like Christine felt. And if you've remembered that kind of a feeling before, you understand what this guy is coming through. Some of you, the truth is, you might be here today and you wouldn't say it out loud, but you'd say, that's me right now. I feel that kind of lost and brokenness and depression in my life right now. I feel that kind of out of controlness in my life today. And if that's you, I actually have really, really good news this morning. Because this man was hurting, tormented, and out of control. And then he met Jesus. But let's read on in the story here. What happens? Verse 6. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He's speaking to the spirit now. "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send him out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on a nearby hillside. And the demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people all came out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed, and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. This man who is tormented, who is out of control, who's broken, he comes and he has an encounter with Jesus, and everything changes in his life. In one day, in one instant, all the brokenness has changed. This guy, they thought he was crazy. They thought he was nuts. They come in after this whole encounter happens, and they see him sitting at Jesus' feet, transformed, so completely, utterly different that their reaction to Jesus is afraid. How could someone have been so transformed in a day? How could someone's life have been so changed, so set free, so different than what we knew of this man all these years? Oh, we're freaked out by what just happened. That's how much Jesus can come in and change things in a moment or in a day. And each of us, as we look at our lives, we can remember back our story too, right? We were broken. We were far from him. We were messed up. We were out of control. And then we met Jesus, and he touched us, and he transformed us. And he changed our lives from the inside out. I think of Christine, who I told you about before. I actually have a picture of her if you want to throw her up there. Just so you can kind of visualize her. This girl, broken, cutting herself, and she goes into college and is still trapped in all this kind of stuff. And she's walking down the street, the shopping street that's right next to her university. And she meets these two American girls named Laura and Tony. They're two people from our team. And Laura and Tony just connected with her and hung out and had her over to their house. And as she was over at their house, they just began to share with her that Jesus loved her too. And as Christine just began to hear the story of who Jesus was and that he wanted to set her free and that he loved her, she said, "I want that." Right in the conversation, she said, "I need that." And right there in the apartment, they prayed for her. And Jesus came into her life and she began to be transformed. And I tell you, as someone, this girl lived with us for a year when we were in China. Jesus completely transformed her life from the inside out. She's not cutting herself anymore. She's not depressed anymore. She's being a minister back into her family that's so broken right now as we speak. God's working in her life, and he's doing these kinds of things because Jesus comes in, and he sets us free. He changes us. I think of Andy. He was friends with one of my roommates. His roommate was one of my friends. The guy's name was Jack. And we met Andy one day on his campus. We were walking together. We ended up having lunch in the dining hall together. And as we're eating in the dining hall, he just begins to share with me about stuff that's going on in his life. And I find out he came from a Christian family, and he knows God is real, but he's never given his life to him. And he just feels so separate. And I just begin to share with him my story of what God did in my life. And I begin to share the gospel with him. And as he begins to hear who Jesus is and be reminded of what he knew from when he was a little boy, his cry was, "But I hit my girlfriend. There's no way Jesus could forgive me." I said, "Andy, he's waiting for you right now. He wants to forgive you right now. He wants to come in and change you and transform you right now. All you have to do is ask." And right there over a bowl of noodles in the middle of the cafeteria, Andy begins to pray. Tears are running down his cheeks. He's changing. And God came into his life and he changed him. I have a picture of Andy. You can throw it up there too. If you were to meet Andy now, he is literally the kindest, sweetest guy in the entire planet. Like if you were like a 22-year-old girl, I'd be like, this is the kind of man you should marry. He's like so gentle, so kind, so loving. And God took him in his brokenness and that violence and all that stuff, and he changed him and he transformed him. And God's done the same thing for us. And he's come into our lives and he's transformed us too. And if you're here this morning, if you are here this morning and you have not yet experienced the transforming love of God in your life, maybe you've been coming to church even for a little bit, but you're coming, you're saying, "I need that. I need him to come into my life and my situation and change things." I have really, really good news. He wants to do it right now. He wants to come in right now to your situation, your brokenness, your out of controlness, and he wants to transform you because that's what he does. It's what he did in the Bible. It's what he does in China. It's what he does here. It's what he does everywhere. And so I just want us to close our eyes for a moment and have a chance to receive that, if that's for us. Just close your eyes with me. If you're here and that's you, and you're saying, whether you've gone to church for a long time or not, whether you've prayed even a prayer before or not, but you're saying, "Jesus, I need you to come into my life and transform me and change me today." Just begin to ask him that right now. "Jesus, this is new for me. But if you would come into my life and change me, I will follow you. I just admit it. I know it right now. I need your help. I'm out of control. I'm broken. I can't do this thing. But if you would come in and rescue me, if you would come in and change me, Lord, I just give you permission right now to break into my life and break into my heart." And as you just speak that to him from your own heart right now, even in this moment right now, he's coming. And he's working, and he's transforming you. He's coming, and he's working, and he's changing you. You can open your eyes with me again right now. You know, for those of us that have gone through it before, we know that we are not necessarily perfect after we have an encounter with Jesus like that. But we're changed, aren't we? We're changed. And for those of you that are just praying that prayer maybe right now for the first time, that doesn't mean tomorrow you're going to be perfect. But he's coming in and he's changing you and he's working in your life and he's transforming you, and it's going to be the greatest adventure, the greatest ride you've ever stepped out on. And the really cool thing, the real miracle of it, is it doesn't stop there, because it's not just about us. Jesus actually wants to rescue other people too. Let's just keep reading right in the same story. Catch this now, verse 18. "As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said this, 'Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you.'" And look what he does, verse 20. "So the man went away, and he began to tell in the Decapolis." The Decapolis was the region that he grew up in. There was 10 towns that were all together. 10, Deca, the Decapolis, these 10 towns. He just began to tell all around about what Jesus had done for him. "And all the people were amazed." So this guy that is just in a day had his life totally transformed by Jesus goes back to his hometown, goes back among his family, and his friends, even those who have ostracized and rejected him. And he begins to tell them what God has done for him. And that is all that sharing our faith is. It is with those that he has put in our lives, just telling them what God has done for us. Just telling him of the mercy that he's had on us. Here's the truth that set me free to share with others. Sharing my faith is simply telling what Jesus did for me. Has Jesus done anything for you? Has he? We all have stories. We probably could write a list of stories right now if we wanted to, right? We're all sharing our faith is just telling what Jesus has did for me. And it's the most natural thing on the planet. Actually, when I remember what Jesus did for me, and I think about the incredible gift that he gave me, it just becomes natural for it to flow out of me and talk about it. Let's think about it for a second. If you go to a restaurant and you have a really good chicken dish, you tell all your friends for a month, don't you? You should go down to this restaurant. The chicken there is amazing. They have this certain kind of dish. It's the best. Did you go to the fish fry over here? It's the best fish fry in Western New York. You should do this kind of thing, right? You get something good and you just talk about it with other people. It's what's natural when you've experienced something that's great. It was so cool with Christine, this girl I'm sharing about. After Jesus transformed her, God came into her life and she just began to share his love everywhere she went. It just bubbled up and oozed out of her. She would talk about it with her roommates. She would talk about it with her family. I remember talking about it with someone on a bus once. It just began to ooze out of her. And she just began to share with others that God had done for her. Why? Because she felt she had some kind of a duty? Because there was some kind of mission that she was tormented that she must fulfill? No, because Jesus had changed her life. And when something changes your life, you tell people about it. If something changes your life and you don't tell people about it, that's weird and bizarre. It's maybe even like a little evil, right? You know, this is like amazing. I found this amazing thing, but I'm not going to tell my friends about it. You know, like who would do that? Like, I'm just going to keep this secret to myself. I'm going to keep eating the chicken, and no one else can know about this amazing chicken. Right? Who would think like that? It's totally natural to talk about it. Andy, man, when that guy got saved, God changed him. He soon graduated from college, and he got a job working for this company that sell little electronic gadgets to America, and he would just share with his friends and his coworkers about what God had done in his life and what he used to be like and how God had changed him, not because he was fulfilling some kind of a rule or some kind of a duty or something like that, but just because he was excited because God had changed him. And here's what I found. As I've followed Jesus for decades of my life now, it's possible for me to get a little jaded to the incredible things he did for me. As I've followed him for many years, sometimes I just begin to forget a little bit of how lost I was apart from him, of how empty and broken my life was, of how he broke in, of all the incredible things he's done for me and given to me. And I can just get a little dull in my heart. And I lose that little excitement thing. And then once I've lost my personal excitement of what Jesus did for me, now it kind of does become a duty for me to talk to others about it. And the Great Commission becomes some kind of command that's hanging over my head. But when I begin to remember what God's done for me, just remember with me right now. Think of where you were at before you met him for the first time. Think of what he rescued you from and what he changed in you. Even after you were saved, think about the things that hung on to you or the things you were trapped in that he set you free from over the years. Think of the work he's done in your marriage. Think of the work he's done in your kids' lives. Think of the work he's done in your finances. Think of the hope that he's given you in your heart, not to mention everything that's going to come in eternity later. And as I just begin to remember how good he's been to me and how incredible he was to set me free and all that's happened, you know, sometimes you just have been on this track and you've been enjoying the blessings of a godly life and enjoying the blessings of him working and having favor in your life and being his kids, and you forget how terrible it is when you're apart from him. You forget the total emptiness of being separated from Christ. You forget the hollowness of just chasing after money or trying to find some kind of purpose in the world. But that's where everybody else is. You have something incredible. You found something incredible. And when I just begin to remember, it changes everything. Because now the Great Commission, the call God gives me to share his love with others is not some kind of command hanging over my head that I feel guilty about all the time. is something that's coming out from my own heart as the most natural thing in the world. I just want to tell you about what Jesus did for me. He changed me. It changed me. The chicken is great, right? Jesus is great. It's just that natural thing that flows. And here's the thing that makes it even cooler. And this is just such amazing that God invites us into this. And that is, as we begin to share our little stories, God will take them and do something incredibly big. Let me say it again. As we are willing to share our little stories, our little part of the pie of what God did in me, God will take one person willing to share their story and use it for incredible things. It's very interesting as we read through the Gospel of Mark, this story ends that we just read, and we don't hear any more about this guy. But if you flip a couple chapters forward into chapter 7, we see Jesus, after a journey into other parts of Israel, come back to this region again. Verse 31 of chapter 7, he says, "Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, and he came down to the Sea of Galilee into the region of the Decapolis," these 10 towns. And I want you to remember what it was like last time Jesus was here. He had set this guy free from this demon possession. He changed his life, and the people were terrified. A whole lot of pigs had died, right? Remember that? And so everybody said, "Jesus, would you please leave and not come back?" That was the last thing they said to him. "Jesus, would you please leave and not come back?" And as he comes back this time, we see something totally different. As he comes back into the Decapolis in chapter 7 and chapter 8, there's a crowd of 10,000 plus people waiting for him. And there's this miracle that happens where Jesus, it's called the feeding of the 4,000, right? We've heard about the feeding of the 5,000 that happened in a different place. He does a similar miracle here. He multiplies bread and fish and does this miracle to feed 4,000 people, 4,000 men that are listening to him teach. It says the men were 4,000 with women and children. Let's call it 10,000. He left. No one wanted him there. Leave and do not come back. Now Jesus comes back to this region again, and there's 10,000 people waiting for him. What happened? One man went around in those towns and told his story. "Jesus changed me. You guys saw me before. I was crazy. I was broken. I was hurt. I had nothing. And Jesus came in and he changed my life." And it went, news traveled from town to town to town and through relationships and friendships and family lines and all these different kinds of things. And a few months later, as Jesus comes back, there's 10,000 people that say, "We want what this guy had. Whatever you did in him, we need a touch of that too. We need an encounter from Jesus too." And God took one man who was willing to use his story, even the ugly and broken parts of it. And as he shared it, God used it to transform a whole region. And I believe with all my heart that in this church is people that God has broken into your lives and he's touched you and he's transformed you and he's done all kinds of incredible things. And if God would take one person like that and could bring together a crowd of 10,000 and change a region, what could he do with a church that was willing to share their story and say, "God changed me. He did something in my life"? It would be amazing. It would touch this whole area. The circles of relationships and the lines that go out from you into workplaces and friendships and neighborhoods and schools and everything else, it would touch this whole region. God will take one person willing to share their story and do something incredible. You know, there's some of you here that, like me, you followed Jesus for a long time, and your experience in this whole area of sharing about him or sharing your faith with others has felt this pressure from the top down of something I ought to do, but I'm failing at it, and it's this terrible kind of thing. And what Jesus wants to give us now, today as a church, is a fresh start. He wants to do something where that pressure is released and something new wells up out of your heart that bubbles over and it becomes the most natural thing in the world to share. Just close your eyes with me right now, would you? He just wants to do it right now. Lord, you are working in us, and you're changing us, and you're transforming us. You've been so good to us, so incredibly good to us. But there's many here, I feel it right now, Lord. There's many here that were exactly where I was, where they want to do what's right, and they want to do it, but they feel paralyzed and stuck and all this stuff, and you want to give a gift right now of excitement welling up out of their heart to share your love with others. Excitement welling up out of your heart to tell their simple story with others. And if that's you and you want that, you say, God, do it in me. Put that excitement in my heart. Put that joy in my heart. Let it well up from within me that I would share my stories with others. Will you just lift your hand up right now just as an invitation? God, give it to me. God, give it to me. Just kind of hold both hands up in that receiving posture right now. And let's just ask him for it. Holy Spirit, would you just come right now and you would release a fresh joy of your salvation all around this room. A fresh joy and a fresh remembrance of the incredible things that you've done for us, Lord. I ask that you would just brush off the shoulders, every burden and every pressure and every way this has been something that's been heavy on us before, Lord. And instead, something joyful and light and new would well up from the bottom of our hearts, Lord, and come out and give life to many. Lord, we just, even with our hands up right now, volunteer ourselves and offer ourselves saying, God, I'm willing to tell my story. If you can take one person who's willing to tell their story and do something great with it, Lord, I want to be that person. I'm willing, Lord, right now. Take my life. You know me. You know my brokenness. You know all the ways I'm not perfect yet. You know all that kind of stuff. But Jesus, you have worked in my life. You have changed me. And if you can do something with that story, Lord, it's yours. I'm available to you. Let's open our eyes again. I want to do something really practical with you guys today as we finish our time together. Because sometimes, you know, it's that pressure that kind of holds us down. But I honestly, for many years, one of the things that held me back was I just didn't really know where to start. I didn't really know how to do that in the normal flow of conversation and relationship, especially in America today. How do I do that? So I just want to do something really practical to practice it together. And so again, in your bulletin, when you came today, there's a little blue blank sheet of paper. Let's pull that out. We're going to use it again like last week. If you have your list from last week, you can probably just write on the other side of that paper if you want. If you need a blue sheet of paper, you didn't get a bulletin for whatever reason, would you just lift your hand up right now and some of the ushers will come and bring those. Just keep it up for a minute while they get that all together. Okay, what we're going to do together is we're just going to write out in a really simple, really brief ways one of the stories of what God's done for you. And just become a tool kind of in your hands when God brings you the right situation. And so this is not something you're going to give with me or you have to show pastor or anything. This is totally just for your eyes. But this is something that's going to be a tool for you to step into stuff. So let's do this. If you need a blue sheet of paper, just keep your hand up. They're handing them out right now. But we'll start with this. On the top of the piece of paper, pull out a pen if you got one. We're going to write here for a little bit. That's what our next 10 minutes is going to be. If you don't have a pen, you can always just do it on your phone. At the top of the sheet of paper, I want you to write three words. Sickness, shame, stress. Sickness, shame, stress. If you don't have a pen, again, just use your phone. You'll be really bored for the next 10 minutes if you don't write anything down. Sickness, shame, or stress. Here's what I found. These are three areas where people around us in our lives that don't know Jesus yet are frequently experiencing problems that they can feel. And they are three areas that Jesus is a specialist at ministering to. He loves to heal sickness. He loves to cleanse away shame. He loves to bring peace to stress. And so this is like throwing a softball up for him to do stuff, okay? So sickness, shame, and stress. Okay, now what I want you to do right now is I want you to think of a story in your life where God's done something in one of those three areas. Maybe it was a time you experienced some kind of a healing physically. In the area, you know, we talk about sickness here. Maybe someone in your family or someone you knew that you were involved with the situation experienced some kind of a healing. Maybe it was a situation where you had a ton of stress on you and you felt God just bring peace into the situation. Or maybe you just had a really difficult, stressful situation and God did a miracle and somehow resolved the situation, whether it's finances or something with your house or something with your family or something at work. Or shame, an area where you had done something wrong or you felt just kind of trapped by shame and it was holding you down. But Jesus came in and he washed you clean and he set you free from that shame. And so I just want you to think of some kind of a story like that. We got to get to where we each have some kind of a story. If you're here today and you're saying, this is like my first time in church, I don't even know what's going on right now. No problem. This is an activity for us that have been following the Lord for a time. But you can think in your own story. Has God somehow broken in your life in some way? Maybe you didn't even realize it before and done something for you. Okay. If you got a story that's come to mind, just lift your hand up here so I know how we're doing. You have a good one? Okay, most of them got one. Okay. Okay, so Now, that should respond to one of those three words we said before: sickness, shame, or stress. So on your piece of paper, just circle the word that this story is going to go with, okay? Maybe this is a sickness story, or maybe this is a stress story, or maybe this is a shame story. Just circle the word. Okay, now we are going to write out the story, okay, in a really simple, really short way. So start the story, and you can just kind of have whatever your little lead-in is. One time, right? Okay, so just write down, one time, dot, dot, dot. Okay, just getting into the story. One time. And then I want you to describe the situation in one sentence. One time, I was having frequent migraines for years that would not go away. This is a real one for me. One time, my uncle was in the hospital, and they said his heart was completely done. He was going to die. One time, I've been involved with something with a guy on campus, and I just felt so ashamed for what I'd let happen to me. One time, we had this total crisis happen with our house. We didn't know how we were going to be able to afford it. Everything was falling apart around us. Just one sentence, just kind of encapsulate what the situation was. Okay. We got kind of one sentence describing our situation. We use two if necessary, but just really brief. What was the situation you were in? Now we want to talk about the Jesus encounter. How did Jesus break in that situation? You know, one time, my uncle's heart, they said at the hospital, was totally done. He was going to die. And so our family gathered together, and we prayed, and we asked Jesus that he would heal them, right? And so that's kind of how it happened. Or one time, I was feeling totally ashamed from this thing that had happened, and I was at a Christian conference, and somebody spoke a prophetic word over me, and it had this impact on my life. Or one time, I was feeling stressed in all kinds of ways, and as I was spending time with the Lord in the morning, he began to speak to my heart, and all of a sudden, I felt peace flood my whole body. Or one time, we were in such financial crisis, and all of a sudden, we got a phone call, and God resolved the situation, da-da-da. So whatever it is, you just describe what happened in the situation. What was the Jesus encounter? How did he break into it? What makes you look back and say, Jesus did something great? If you need to spend one or two or three sentences just doing that, I'll just be quiet for a minute and just take a minute and just kind of write that out. Okay, as you finish that, we got two short little steps left. I want you to write out what Jesus did that actually transformed the situation. We thought we were going to lose our house, and all of a sudden, an unexpected $30,000 check came in the mail. Woo! I wish that would happen to me, right? Okay. I had migraine headaches for years. My friend prayed for me, and I haven't had a headache since. My uncle's heart, we laid hands on him. This is a true story. We laid hands on him, and we prayed for him, and the doctor came back in with the CAT scan and said, there must be a mistake. This is not your heart. This is the heart of a 20-year-old. Something happened. Okay? True story, okay? What happened? What was the result of this situation? So just take one sentence to just say what was kind of the result there. This woman prayed for me at the conference, and I've never felt that shame again. He set me free from it totally. Okay, and here's our last little step in writing this out. Just write this phrase down. I believe that Jesus could do the same thing in your situation. Can I pray for you? I believe that Jesus could do the same thing in your situation. Can I pray for you? This one's so crucial, I'm going to say it one more time. I believe that Jesus could do the same thing in your situation. Can I pray for you? See, what we're doing right now is sharing a story, which is the most natural thing in the world, right? Like when I stood up here, you guys just talked about New York City, so it's totally natural for me to be like, I remember one time when I was in New York City, right? We do this all the time. This is how the rhythm of every human conversation works. And even in our culture today, which can feel very resistant to us sharing about God or sharing about Jesus in some kind of a way, our culture actually glorifies our personal stories, doesn't it? It is our own personal experience. This is the one thing that I can always do and never be offensive and never have a problem. I had this experience. Jesus healed me. It was amazing. And then to just say, hey, I think that God could do the same thing in your situation too. Can I pray for you? And what you will find is that 95% of the time, when you use your story like this, just like that man we just read about in the scripture, just like Christine, just like Andy, God will take you and he'll use you in incredible ways. Andy, that guy I was telling you about before, so cool. He was at his workplace. Remember I told you people were asking about Jesus since we were sharing about Jesus a little bit? Well, he gets called into his boss's office one day. You know, it's just kind of one of those, like, this is not a good conversation kind of calls. So he goes into his boss's office, and his boss sits him down and says, "So, I've heard that you've been talking about Jesus on company time while you're here." But Andy was like, "You're so worthy, Jesus. I'm going to get fired." And his boss says, "Well, you know we sell these little electronic trinkets into America." And he says, "You know everybody in America is a Christian." That's what they think of him. And he said, "I wonder if it would help us sell more stuff to China, to America, if we understood their belief system." He said, "So this is what I would like you to do." He said, "I'm going to have you come in tomorrow, and I'm going to call the whole company together, all the hundreds of employees, and we're going to sit in the auditorium. And if you could just take 10 or 15 minutes to explain to them what Christians believe so that maybe we could sell some more things." Andy was like, "This is not how I saw this conversation going at all." Sure, okay? And so the next morning, he gets up and he stands up in front of the whole company and he shares the gospel with them. He shares about who Jesus is and what he does, and now people are asking him all the time about what is this and help me explain more about Jesus, something he could have never done on his own. One person willing to share their story, and God breaks in beyond our wildest expectations and will use it in incredible ways. Okay, and as you are willing to step out in this little tiny step, you will be shocked at how God will take it. Let's make it almost like a little dare as we come up over this next month. I dare you to try it for a little bit and just see what God does. And so here's what we're going to do. Everyone stand up with me right now. You probably may have never done this in church before, but I'm only here for this week, so we're going to do it, okay? What I want us to do is I want you to take those little things you just wrote down and just in little twos or threes or fours around the room, I just want you to share it with somebody else. "I can't believe it's making me do this right now." Hey, this is how we get practice. We do it in a safe place like this, right? "I didn't write my story down." It's okay. Just make it up as you go now, okay? Okay? And so we're going to do this. We're going to take like 3 or 4 minutes right now and just get two people together like that. One share with one person, one share with the other. You can do it husband and wife if you want to. You can do it with a stranger if you want to. We're going to take this step right now, okay? Are you with me? We can do it. We can do it if we will. Okay, 4 minutes. Let's do it right now. Really simple. This should be like a 30-second story. It's fine to use your notes. No problem. You just wrote it down for the first time. Don't feel awkward. You can do it. It's the best chicken in town. Just tell about the good thing he did for you. The first person hasn't finished yet. Finish up and then switch to the other person. Doesn't need to be a 10-minute story, just a 30-second story of what God did. Thirty more seconds. Finish up that second one. Ten. Nine. Eight. Seven. Six. Five. Four. Three. Two. Ask him if you can pray for him quick. I believe God can do the same thing for you. Can I pray for you? Okay. Have a seat again. Have a seat. Have a seat. Okay, here's the deal. As simple and maybe even stupid as that seems, you have now in your quiver a powerful weapon to share when someone brings up something going on in their life around you. Here's the key, though, and this is so important. Okay, catch this. This is the last thing. You must lovingly listen now to the people that are around you to see when God gives you an opportunity to share your story. So this week, here's the deal. Who wrote down a sickness story? Raise your hand if you wrote down a sickness story. Okay, if you wrote down a sickness story this week and you hear someone say, hey, I have this sickness thing going on in my life or in my family, you should have little alarm bells that go off in your head that go, whoop, doot, doot. Hey, this is your moment. God opened the door. He prepared you for this. You got your thing. And you just share your story right there and just say, hey, one time, blah, 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 and God healed me. I think he could probably do the same thing for you. Can I pray for you right now? They will love it. They will love it, okay? If you wrote, who wrote a shame story down? Anyone writing shame stories down? A little heavy. Okay, some of us wrote shame stories down, okay? These are deeper relationships usually where you'll get these opportunities. But if you hear someone share something that is a brokenness in their life or something they feel ashamed of, you should picture me in my khaki pants going, hey, this is your moment. Do it now, okay? And that should be jumping in your mind. You go, oh, okay, this is the thing. Because someone who's willing to share with you about that area of their life, they have just opened their heart to you. And if you would open your heart back by sharing your own brokenness and what God did for you, you will see incredible things. God will break right into that situation and transform them. I see around the room people who have tears in their eyes right now just from doing this in church and for people you already knew. How about this? This week, just think ahead. How many of you are going to have someone talk to you about something they're stressed about this week? Every single person in this room, if you talk to any human being, they're going to talk about something they're stressed about. If you just wrote down a stress story, when that happens, oh, flashing lights, it's the moment. God's here. He's doing it. Okay, he opened the door just like I prayed. And you step in and you just share how God broke into that situation. And you are going to find that God moves through those little supernatural conversations that happen all throughout this week. So let me just pray over you guys as we send you out. Lord, this is such an incredible church that has such a rich experience of your love in their lives. And if the stories of what you've done in them were just to be heard by the ears of the people of this community in this region, there is no limit to what you can do. If God could take one person, Lord, imagine what he could do with this group right here. So Lord, I just ask that you would fill them with courage to take that little step. You'd fill them with strength to do it. And Lord, as they step out, that you would meet them with your supernatural, miraculous power and breathe life into these situations. In Jesus' name we pray. Do it, Lord. Amen. Amen. You guys are awesome. Thank you for going with me in that.
Okay, back in October, I was at a meeting in Henrietta that Toby actually hosted, brought in some guests from Asia, and they just started sharing their faith. And that's when I realized, I am that guy who's gotten dull, who's gotten jaded, who's forgot how much Jesus delivered me from. I am that guy. And so thank you, Brother Toby, for coming and giving us a fresh start, just declaring to us that God can give us a fresh beginning again. So, all right, the red flags are up. You'll hear those stress stories, those sickness stories, those shame stories. You'll see the dancing khakis, and you'll open your mouth, and he'll fill it. Amen. God bless you. There's refreshments.